Welcome to another All Business Podcast. This is Ted Schubel. Thank you for bringing us up on your phone or your computer or wherever you are listening. We talk with area business owners here, the people that make the region work. When we come back, we're all business.
The All Business Podcast is supported by Richmond to DC HelpWanted.com. Most folks who work here love living here, and that makes a difference. At Richmond to DC HelpWanted.com, they're proud to work the hometown advantage around the clock, connecting local employers to local job seekers. Richmond to DC HelpWanted.com makes it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. And if you're looking for a good local job, search jobs and apply online right now. Get the advantage of finding a job close to home at Richmond to DC HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
We're at 309 William Street. The Confident Rabbit, Jackie Hartman, is here. Before we get into anything, we have to talk about the name. I see rabbits around here. What's the story behind the name?
Well, the story behind the name, I'm glad that you asked, because I think there's been some, well, maybe some controversy a little bit about it, because it's a folklore, it's Native American folklore. It's about the legend of the Confident Rabbit, which is... It tells a story of the rabbit sitting in the ferns, and the lynx is its predator, and it is calmly smoking its peace pipe, and it sits there, but it knows that it's more intelligent and faster and stronger, and it can outwit and outsmart its predator. I liked it because for me it was about perseverance. It's just my meaning behind that. Yeah. And I liked that it was confident, and I like... You know, I don't have this fascination with bunnies or anything. I really liked the name. I thought it was fun and lighthearted, and it's meant to be unpretentious and just, like, easy. Yeah, just different.
I like it. It's something you always had in mind, that if you ever got to the point that you had a restaurant, or how long did it take to come up with a name?
Actually, it wasn't my first name, but in polling some people in my culinary school and some mentors that I have back in New York, I asked what they thought of the name, and between two different names, and they thought everybody liked this one better. They thought it was fun and easy to pronounce, easy to remember. So that's what I went with.
It's not. The more you think about it, and especially now you explaining it, it fits. It works.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's your story on as far as being... You're an executive chef, first of all. What is an executive chef? What do you have to do to attain that title?
Well, not everybody does, but I went to culinary school. I went to what was called the French Culinary Institute. It's now called the International Culinary Center. It's in Lower Manhattan. Studied under great chefs like Alain Sayag, Jacques Pepin, Alice Waters. Those are my deans of study. So I had a really good background and foundation for cooking, disciplines and teachings and things like that. But to become an executive chef, you really, just like everybody else, you have to work your way through the brigade. And you start small and you work your way up. The term chef is really the person who runs the kitchen. I mean, we're all cooks, it's what we do. So the term chef is the person that runs the kitchen. So even sous chef, if being in the kitchen when I'm not here, he's in charge of the kitchen. So he is chef when I'm not here.
Mm-hmm. How long, when you went to school and to get that title, how long do you have to go to school to get it?
Well, my school was interesting because we have a total immersion process at the French Culinary, or ICC now, and it is 680 hours, but it took about 6 months. It wasn't that long, but this is total immersion. So unlike schools like Johnson & Wales or the Culinary Institute of America, where you do other curriculum, where you have a math classes and English classes and things like that. This was very different, but it is an accredited school. So,
what are some of the courses you take?
Well, I took my degree is in classic culinary arts with artisanal bread baking. So, my course of study, we had four levels at that time. I think they have six now, where you do your core items. And then where you learn your disciplines. Discipline, technique, and quality are like the mantra for the school. So where you learn your disciplines, you learn cuts, stocks, basic sauces, things like that. And then your second level of school is where you're really teaching, you're taught in catering, but you're also taught garmanger items, which is your soups and salads, and composed salads such as tuna niçoise and things like that. Third level is I guess that would be like your junior year, but it's third level. That's where you start cooking for the restaurant on property, but you're really going through the line in the kitchen. And everything up to that point really prepares you for that. But you get to start showing a little bit of creativity in your dishes, depending upon the station that you're in. And then the fourth level, you are cooking for the restaurant. And the restaurant at the time was called La Cole. It's on the corner of Broadway and Grand in Soho, New York City. I don't believe it's open anymore, but that's where we had basically our externship was there. But it was an internship because it was school.
So how'd you get to Fredericksburg? Because I know before we get to the Confident Rabbit, there's a stop at the Kenmore Inn.
There is. And I'm a Virginian. I'm born and raised in Fauquier County. And I came to Fredericksburg because of the Kenmore Inn. I applied for a job there in very early January of 2011. And was, you know, lucky enough to take that role on. I was hired as the executive chef there. And probably within about 8 months, I was promoted to general manager as well. So I not only did I manage the kitchen and menus and all of that, but I ran the entire inn, all the events, and everything there. So I was pretty much like the boss, and I reported to the owner.
I guess after doing that for however long you did, at some point you'd... Did you always in your mind had thought someday?
Sure. I think everybody, when you go to school and you start working, you kind of figure out what you really want to do with that, with the, you know, the disciplines and those techniques that you have, what you want to do. You either want to work for somebody, you want to work for yourself, you want to cater, maybe you want to, you know, be an event planner, maybe you want to be a food writer. So you can do a whole lot with having a culinary background. But I worked at the Kenmore for about 7 years, and that afforded me the opportunity to really learn the business model and what was behind operating a business. And it was, I'm forever grateful for that opportunity. It really prepared me for this. When I was approached by the former owners, Abby and Blake Betham, that they were considering selling, clearly it was the right opportunity and the right location for me.
We're at 309 William Street, the Confident Rabbit. Jackie Hartman is here, and you mentioned that we were in the old spot up until, I guess, last summer. Well, it was the bistro.
Yes.
And it's a much different place when you walk in here. It's not as echoey, and I just noticed that you've brightened it up.
Aesthetically, yes. It's funny, I was chatting with Blake last night and talking about the differences that have happened in here. You know, we did add some sound deadening, which was really necessary. I think our clientele really wanted that.
It was hard to, you could be at the same table and you were kind of always leaning in.
Yes. You know, that can make for an intimate space, but it could also, I understand how it can be annoying for those, because you want to be able to hear each other when you're dining. And it was important for us to listen to the needs of our clientele and really do good by them. And not only for that, for me in the kitchen, when there was, you know, 15 people out here, it sounded like there were 80. So it was, you thought that you were busier than you were, and it just, you know, it can set a tone. So you want to make sure everybody's just calm, cool, and collected and rolling into service. So
when you came in here and started putting your stamp on things, How long did it take you from the time you took out till everything was closed to when you reopened?
It was 3 weeks.
3 weeks?
Yes, I went really fast. But you know, being a sole proprietor, because you know it's just me. I don't have, you know, the big army of backers, yeah, or anything like that. It's just me doing this, and you know, I really held my contractor's feet to the fire. I worked with Fredericksburg Construction, David Hazlett. I worked with Jay Halloway over at Habilis. He's helped me quite extensively. And Gary's Repair Service does a lot of repair for me. So all of the things that were done in here were due to those folks really, really pushing and making me a priority, which was, I'm grateful for that, because it allowed us to not be closed long so that we could then start earning an income.
Yeah, I guess that's, you want to open as quick as you can.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of people were surprised we were able to do it, because there are so many changes that were really great in here. I mean, the bar completely changed. The whole place has been painted. You know, I added the banquette. All the chairs have been redone. So it's just, there was a lot that was done in here. And it's sort of amazing to me to look back now and think, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that in 3 weeks. So
seafood is your, that's it. Would it be safe to say that's your specialty?
That is what we do here. I feel we do it well. We are wanted to really put oysters on the forefront and on the map here in Fredericksburg. There are other places in town that do them and serve them, but we really have a plethora of a variety. We are on the oyster trail for Virginia. You know, having the Rappahannock River and the Chesapeake Bay not far from here, it was really important that we supported that and use what's, you know, growing here. I think it's a real special thing, so.
Looking at the, just what you got on the wall, and you've got like oysters on the half and clams on the half, and just everything that you've got up there, just it reminds me, you sort of look at and you think, you know, I'm at a restaurant on the Northern Neck or something.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that that has been our leader that brings a lot of people in. You know, we do serve other things other than seafood and, oysters and clams, obviously, that's what we push forward with, but you know, we have scallops, there's always a seasonal fish, but we do some French classics because I am trained classically in French food, so I serve things like duck and pheasant and filet mignon and, you know, things of that nature, but it's ever changing. I try to change the menu up as often as possible.
Yeah, how often do you do that? I mean, a lot of it, I guess, is seasonal.
It is. It can be daily. It can be daily depending upon the ingredients, you know. Yeah, I was talking to a colleague last night and was talking about the event that's happening in October and saying, well, you know, we don't want to let a lot out we want the element of surprise, but at the same time, as a chef, you really want to know that the product that you're getting is in its best quality. So you have to have that ability to change in case it's, you know, maybe my broccoli rabe came in and it wasn't looking that great, so maybe I'm not going to use that today. Maybe I'll go with spinach instead or something like that. So it changes frequently.
We're here doing this in the morning. This is fascinating to me to see all that goes on, because you don't think about that. You know, it comes time, you know, I'll meet you at 11:30 for lunch, and you go and it's there. But there's a lot to getting a rest. I mean, I guess at night, closing it down and then getting ready for the next day.
For sure. It's all the little soldiers are in here doing their job. And it's great to me. We've been here, you know, there's only a couple of new folks that are here this morning, but most everybody has been with me since the inception, and everybody knows exactly what they need to do when they arrive. So that's kind of cool for me that, you know, there's no hand-holding, really. Everybody's got their job to do, and they're professional about it, and they come in and do it.
So how long does it take to get you? You do lunch and dinner, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what is 11:30 you open?
11:30 to 2:30. We do lunch Tuesday through Saturday, and Sundays it's 10:30 to 3:30 or 3 o'clock is brunch. We don't close midday. We stay open, and we have a shortened menu for those who do. Oysters are available all day long, so we never stop that, as well as some of our lighter fare. But dinner starts at 5 p.m. every day.
So how long does it take? How long will it take everyone here this morning to get up and running,
and
ready to go by 11:30?
It's a well-oiled machine. So it takes all of the hour and a half at the most, depending upon if you have, like, especially the kitchen, if you have to make things because you ran out at the end of the day yesterday and maybe you didn't have time to make it before you left, it could take up to an hour and a half. But we roll through service, so we pretty much are cooking all day long, just constantly keeping things stocked.
For you personally, how long are the days for you?
Long. Being it's our first year, we're just completing our first year, and I work a lot. I mean, it's to be expected. Sometimes it's 7 days a week. Most weeks it's 6 days, but it's a lot of hours. I mean, it's anywhere from 60 to 80 hours a week, easy.
You seem to love it, though.
I do. I'm really passionate about it. It's like my child, but I love food, and I love making things that people can really enjoy. And when people, you know, comment about how lovely something was, or this was just so tasty, oh my gosh, I can't do this at home, and it makes me feel good. But it's also very humbling that, you know, these people want to dine here, and they have a choice, and they come in here and eat, and it's a wonderful thing.
Being a chef, is that something you always had wanted to do? I mean, can you trace it back to just being a little kid and having a, Easy bake oven?
Not really. I did have an easy bake oven, but I, not really. I actually went into software sales. So I was a worldwide rep for BMC Software, which was in Houston at the time. I think they've already merged with someone else. But I used to sell software for a living, and I traveled extensively. I was very good at that job, but I got tired of constant movement. But I always, at that point in my life, it was my late 20s, I really loved to cook, and I loved having people over and trying new canapes and hors d'oeuvres and things like that. And I just decided one day that that's what I needed to do. I wanted to go to school. So, and that kind of set forward in forward motion my path, I guess. I never thought I would own a restaurant. I never thought I would have the chops to cook on the line. I always thought that I would do catering, something behind the scenes. I'm not really good publicly. I am very shy. I'm pretty a shy person, unless you know me well. I don't like being in the spotlight, so to speak. When I first worked on the line at the Iron Bridge Wine Company in Warrenton, I guess it was like 2007 when I moved back home from New York, I found I thrived. And I was just really good at it. It was a natural, I had a natural instinct, and I was very good under pressure. And that kind of began the journey. And then I realized that I definitely needed to own my own space at some point in my life.
Wow, well, Fredericksburg's the beneficiary of that, because this is great stuff. Jackie Hartman here on All Business this week. We're at 309 William Street, the Confident Rabbit. ConfidentRabbit.com that's the website, right?
It is. Mm-hmm.
You're involved, because you mentioned it a few minutes ago. A downtown affair is coming up this Sunday, and it's a big deal for downtown Fredericksburg.
It's a real big deal, and I'm so happy to say that we're sold out. We sold out probably within 3 weeks of announcing the event, and I was asked and by Anne Glave to see if I could coordinate the culinarians in our community and bring some people together. And I think this is just a different event. We've never done something like this before. Everybody's really excited about it. I think all the different restaurants that are involved and all the retailers that are involved, I think everybody's really thrilled at how this has come together so successfully. So I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a magical night.
I know everyone, downtown is really unique, where most people really get along and work with each other. And something like this, I would think, it's even more working closer together.
It is, and I think the synergy is really good. I think that it's important for you to get along with your colleagues. I had said the other day when we spoke on the radio that I think that it's to the benefit of all restaurants that we all do well. I mean, there's something for everyone here. And I don't really view anybody as competitors, so to speak. There is something for everyone. And if, you know, the person across the street is busy, and then that might bring me overflow. And if we're busy, it might bring them overflow. I think that once you get known to be a food destination, you'll always be known as that. So we're all, I think, restaurateurs, we're all looking to be that type of location. We're, you know, the sweet spot between Richmond and D.C., so it's a logical choice.
Well, and I come into places like this, and you see what goes on here and the passion that you have and just the quality here, and instead of going to Washington and Richmond all the time when it's time to go out, eat local.
Absolutely. Eat and shop local. Support your downtown merchants. There's something for everyone here. And I think that supporting the smaller places really helps, you know, our community thrive. And you're literally putting money back into the community. And it's nice to keep it at home rather than with, you know, the big brothers out there.
Well, and the other thing coming in and seeing as you get ready for lunch sometimes, I don't always consider something place like this. I'd consider the Confident Rabbit to go someplace at night, but you're doing lunch and you're here.
We do. We're known for, we have a duck burger on the menu. That's
a duck burger.
Oh, it's so good. But you'll never want a hamburger again after it. It's ground duck breast. It's so delicious. We're known for that. We're also known for our quiche and crepes. We have those every day, and they change daily depending upon the ingredients that are in either. So those are some really good things that we offer here, and we have a good support from our local community for that.
I like the thought of a duck burger, though. That does. I mean, you might see me in the next week or so here for lunch, because that does sound just different and fun.
It's delicious. It's better than a hamburger. I promise you that. It's better than a hamburger.
I can go back to work and say, guess what? You know, while everyone else talks about a burger, I can talk about a duck burger.
Yeah, absolutely. That, I mean, that the evolvement of that was... my brother-in-law was bit by a Lone Star tick, and he can't have anything on the hoof. So... He can't have a hamburger. He can't do, you know, anything like that. Lamb burger, nothing. So I was like, well, why don't I just grind up some duck? We'll make a duck burger for you. I mean, the quality is going to be the same. I mean, when you eat duck, it's definitely, you can eat it been rare. You can eat it rare. So you're going to have the same sort of temperature gauging with it and the texture and everything. So he's on a fins and feathers diet. And that's kind of where that evolved from.
Again, it's the confidentrabbit.com. And, Jackie Hartman at 309 William Street, if you remember from the bistro, and you got the blue doors out front, easy to find.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you for we will do this again. This is great stuff, and good luck with a downtown affair. That seems destined to just get bigger and bigger.
It will be great. I'm really looking forward to it. Thanks for all the support.
Thanks, Jackie.
Mm-hmm, thanks.
If you enjoy listening to this podcast, please link, comment, and subscribe. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. You can also find us on Channel B Online at b1015.com, keyword podcasts. If you'd like to talk about your business, I want to hear from you. Ted at WFVARadio.com, the best way to get in touch with me. Ted at WFVARadio.com. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Until next time, when again, we are all business.
The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed by the host and guests on this podcast are their own and not necessarily those of Centennial Broadcasting.